Join me in prayer. Lord, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable to you, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. If you've been here over the past few weeks, you have heard this story again and again of how Jesus embeds himself and his life into the Passover story. He becomes the bread. His blood becomes the wine. But why? Passover, we've heard, is the time that Jesus repurposes the story of Israel into the Lord's Supper, a dinner time reenactment of God freeing the Hebrew people from slavery in Egypt. They have to leave in a hurry. There's no time to wait for bread to rise. Instead, they get something like this cracker, matzah. This is my body, Jesus says, holding out this bread to the disciples. I started baking bread years ago when I came across this book called The Secret Art of Jesuit Bread Baking. Before that book, I knew bread only from what was packaged in the store. It was mysterious, something definitely beyond my ability to produce. All those perfectly uniform loaves of sandwich bread in plastic bags, this round boule with the swirling cut on top, and that long French bread that no oven I possessed could bake to perfection. I can't remember who handed me Brother Curry's book on the traditional recipes used in each of the liturgical seasons by the Jesuit priests, but it's from them that I learned how to bake. I learned that bread requires the same two ingredients every time, water and flour. The author, Brother Curry, taught me that we learn to bake bread through practice. I learned that dough may seem too sticky to me, but it's actually fine. And if I added too much flour, the bread turned hard and dry. I learned how to knead, that 5 minutes feels like a very long time when you're pushing the dough with your palm and pulling it back, folding it over, and doing it again and again and again. Bread takes practice because making bread requires more than just measuring things and throwing them into a bowl. Most of the Jesuit recipes say things like, add between 4 and 6 cups of flour, which is a very big difference in the amount of flour. But I came to discover that an oven or the amount of kneading, the time left to rise, the amount of flour, the amount of water, all of that changes the outcome. And yet bread is also forgiving. All that bread really wants is time. Mix and knead, but always wait. Punch down the dough, and then wait again. It's the waiting that keeps you nearby. You can watch the clock for bread if you're on a schedule, as I often am when baking communion bread, or you don't. You let it go. And often it works out, despite your worst efforts or inattentiveness. We are in a tradition that goes out looking for meaning in ordinary things. No symbol is too small to pass by our attention. Coins and sheep, houses and water. The world is teeming with this God stuff. In 1972, Charles Cristiano of Indonesia and Marv Hine of North America led communion for thousands of Anabaptists who met for this meeting of Mennonite World Conference. And before the crowd, Cristiano walked in with a stalk of wheat, and Hine held a bowl of grapes. And in front of the crowd, Cristiano ground the wheat berries into flour, and Hine smashed the grapes into juice. For Mennonites, how bread comes to be is itself significant. I am the bread of life, Jesus tells his disciples. This is my body. And we know that in the New Testament, again and again, we find our identity in Christ as Christians, little Jesuses. Is not the cup of blessing which we bless a sharing in the blood of Christ? Is not the bread which we break a sharing in the body of Christ? Since there is one bread, we who are many are one body, for we all partake of the one bread. We become this living body of Jesus on earth, and so like Jesus, we become bread. The first Anabaptists of the 16th century, when they heard this, they saw their own persecution reflected back and how the bread and the wine came to be. So this is one of the parables they would write. The grains had to be brought together into one loaf and through one flour. Not one of them could preserve itself as it was or keep what it had. Every grain had given itself and its whole strength into the bread. And in the same way, the grapes. The grapes must be pressed into wine. Every grape gives all of its strength and all its juice into the uniform wine. And no grape can keep anything for itself. Only in this way can wine come into being. Not one of them could keep what they had. In order to become something else, to share life, to find unity in Jesus, something had to change as they were broken apart. You don't have to go far to look and see that happening around us. Simply following Jesus will do the trick. If we live even 1/100th of what we see in Jesus' life, if we live by his teachings about money and follow his example of making people in power angry, if we're more interested in the sick and the imprisoned than those who make decisions, if we refuse to worship gods of nationalism and war, if you do any of this, you will be ground apart. Our sense of rightness, our ability to make it in the world, being responsible or wise or good, all of this will be ground out of us. The world crushes whatever love it can find. But friends, bread is resurrection. Yeast is a living creature lying dormant. It's something that's activated by water, then lives off of sugar. It was 2600 BCE that Egyptian bakers discovered that their mixtures of water and wheat, if left too long to their own devices, would begin to ferment. Leavening then became a part of bread cultures around the world. Some of us associate yeast with kneading, with doing that work to bring yeast to life. Without our action or our effort, nothing would come to pass. It's by our labor, our hard work, that bread comes to life. I believed this myth for years. Then they said to him, "What must we do to perform the works of God?" And Jesus answered them, "This is the work of God, that you believe in him whom God has sent." What must we do? How can I become better or holier? What prayers do I have to say? What lists do I need to complete? How do I get myself in the grace of this perfect God? It turns out, bread does not need to be kneaded at all. Kneading speeds up something that is already happening. This mysterious process of fermentation, of bread coming to life and growing and churning and bubbling and moving. All of this will happen with you doing nothing at all. All that bread requires is time and the right environment. I learned about this and with cautious skepticism went to test it out. I took my big plastic mixing bowl and put these ingredients together, and then I covered them and set them in the sun, and I waited 18 hours. And friends, the dough rose. It rose without my trying or without my effort. It grew without signs or works or wonders. It was its own miracle of transformation. What signs are you going to give us? so that we may see and believe. What works are you performing? Our ancestors ate manna in the wilderness. As it's written, he gave us bread from heaven. And Jesus said, very truly, I tell you, it was not Moses who gave you bread from heaven, but my Father who gives you the true bread from heaven. For the bread of God was just coming down from heaven and gives life to the world. And they said to him, sir, give us this bread always. I am the bread of life, Jesus says. Throughout the rest of the New Testament, followers of Jesus will hold close the symbol of bread. In Acts, we read that the earliest church would gather for the breaking of bread. They went to the temple together and then to each other's homes for the breaking of the bread. And around the time that Christians started to write things down, a few churches transitioned from eating bread as a meal to having it as a ritual. They provide the earliest instructions for the Lord's Supper in this little document called the Didache. It's dated to around 120 CE, and it's here that we see the symbolism of bread continue to grow, to ferment and take on new meaning. First, give thanks. The Didache is very practical, which is why I like it a lot. And here's the prayer they instruct. And concerning the broken bread, we thank you, our Father, for the life and knowledge which you've made known to us through Jesus, your servant, and to you be glory forever. Even as this broken bread was scattered over hills and gathered together and became one, so let your church be gathered together from the ends of the earth into your kingdom. For yours is the glory and the power through Jesus forever. We bruised and crushed in the world. Christ's good news came to the same world. And in the eating of communion, we are gathered again. When we gather at the table, we who have received this good news become one, united in Christ. Communion is for those who have chosen him, for you who have loved him, you who have said yes to this good news, and you who have been crushed because of it, you who long for one another, and you who gather again. When Jesus proclaims he is the bread of life, he is telling his disciples that he's filling them up, ready to feed them. I don't know if you've ever been hungry before, really hungry, the kind of hungry where you've almost forgotten that you're hungry because your body is coming to terms with the situation. And I wonder if you remember what it was like to eat for the first time, how food feels, that you feel complete as you had not been, like maybe there had been a piece of you missing and you never realized it. I wonder if you remember how it feels to have food hit your stomach and spread through your blood and into your muscles and up your brain and up your spine into your brain. I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me will never be hungry. And who believes in me will never be thirsty. But I said to you that you've seen me and yet do not believe. Everything that the Father gives me will come to me, and anyone who comes to me, I will never drive away. For I've come down from heaven not to do my own will, but the will of the one who sent me. And this is his will, that I should not lose anything of what he's given me, but raise it up on the last day. This is indeed the will of my Father, that all who see the Son and believe in him may have eternal life, and I will raise them up on the last day. Amen.